So a nice story. If I can just start with a short story that I saw. So a nice story. It was a, I don't know if I ever said it. I just saw it yesterday again. Mrs. Zalman, back in Europe, they need a fundraising between the war, fundraising for Yeshiva, Slutsky Yeshiva. They're trying to fundraise, and they invited the rich, the wealthier member in the community. And there was one particular individual, they weren't sure if they should invite him or not, because he had, at one point, been a very wealthy member of the community. However, Yorad Menachosevit lost his wealth. He was from a very prominent, wealthy, rich man in the community. He had lost all his fortunes, and he became actually, he wasn't rich at all anymore. They weren't sure if they should invite him, because on the one hand, he didn't have much, you know, it's not much point inviting him. He's got not much to... And in a way, it's like rubbing it in. Like, you know, you invite, there's going to be 10, 15 people around the table, each of them giving nice, juicy checks, and then he's going to be like, then giving the, you know, high pounds, you know. It's On the other hand, he had been previously, So I'm sure, should invite him? It's a really subtle question, you know. This, ask him sometimes if he can make hard decisions. I don't know, to invite him, and thereby perhaps embarrassing in his presence. Not inviting him is also not nice because he was there for the last. So they decided. The rule of thumb is: if you're not sure what to do, pardon. Okay, they didn't have that much foresight, so they just did. Shavel taisa odif, as we say, don't do. You never regret not. You know, don't do. Better not to do it than doing something wrong. So that's what the approach was. I don't know. So they decided we're not gonna invite him. So they did not invite this previously wealthy person, and they were doing this. What are those called? Parliament, that's right. And you know this posh zachen and everything, and this fancy thing. And everybody's handing out this guest speaker and everything. And as they're proceeding towards the end of the event, there's a knock on the door. And they open up the door, and who is standing there? He's there. Oh, that's really embarrassing. You know, he's standing there. He invited himself, kind of, and he didn't know where to put it. Oh, yeah, sure. He totally, you know, please come inside, and why don't you join for dessert? Kind of, you know, you don't have to plow through the first few courses. You can go right to dessert. You know, all these nice things. He said, no, I've not come for food. I've not come. Thank you very much. I totally understand. You didn't invite me, and I totally understand why you didn't invite me, and that's all makes sense, and it's fair, and it's right. I've come to share one message. As you know, I used to be very wealthy. I used to have very well, and you know, I used to give, none of that is left. None of that is left. All the money that I had has gone. It's disappeared. It's not there anymore. There's only one thing which I still have. What is that? What is it that I still have? The schosim of the tzedakas that I gave. Everything has been taken away from me. I don't have it anymore. But I wish I would have given him more, because the only thing which I still have is the schosim of the tzedakas that I gave. He obviously had given a serious amount and substantial amounts, but he said, that's the only thing which I still have is the schosim of those mitzvahs, because everything else has been taken away from me. Had I known how much this schosim are and how much he means, and that's really the only thing which is permanent, I would have given even more. So I've just come to this event just to share with you that perspective. And so don't forget, the only thing that you really have is what you give. And with that, he said, good evening, and he walked out, and he went away. And that was it. I thought it's a very nice... that was probably the purpose of his visit. Okay. Okay, Rabbi says, some halachas on tefillin. Semen lamed beis. Sif Yud Aleph is a just a reference. Sif Yud Aleph tells us, Oy she'ibdu shelo lishmoy. What happens if the skin is processed shelo lishmoy? Im yesh tikun lachzav la'avdu lishmoy. Is any way you can rectify this? A processed hide, and you've now decided it was done shelo lishmoy. You want to now redo it, recycling. Yeah, that's the word. You're doing a lishma recycling method. Is that possible or not? So he's barber to your iter simin reish ein aleph. See what is discussed in simin reish ein aleph. See if you'd base. Yeah, klaf. The klaf should be me'oir behema should be from skin of behema, of a animal, v'chayom, v'oiv, hata'oyim. This is the point. The cloth must be, now we're addressing, which animals qualify for a good, which good cloth. So the answer is, it must be from a tohoira animal, behema, chaya, v'oiv. Oiv, of course, even birds qualify. V'afilu menevela v'treifa shalahem. It can even be for nevela and treifa. What is a nevela and treifa? So the nevela and treifa is if you've got a kosher animal, but he has not been slaughtered and shechted, keil chosa. So say it died, you have this deer which had a road accident, as somebody was driving 200 miles an hour right into the deer, it's a kosher animal. Or you have this cow, which is a kosher animal, it was shot, or whatever it may be, or it died from old age, whatever it is. As long as the animal species, the animal is a kosher animal, it qualifies for klaf. However, so even if it's an avela or a treifa, even if it wasn't shechted, kel chosam. Avol, but, loy, unlike what doesn't qualify for klaf, is ma'oir, from hide, behema, v'chai v'ov, atmeyam, from animals which are non-kosher animals, those do not qualify for klaf. You cannot take any klaf from animals which are not kosher. The ksiv, as it says in the pasuk, leman tie toiras Hashem b'ficha. So the literal translation is leman, in order tie should be toiras Hashem b'ficha, in your mouth. And the Gemara darshens memin hamuta l'ficha. The Gemara darshens is not a simple understanding of the pasuk, but the drasha is memin, from the species, from the type hamuta, which is permitted l'ficha, to your mouth. So, the Torah's Hashem, the way it's darshan is the Torah's Hashem, meaning the Torah, if a Torah tefillin mezuzah, must be from something which is muta, beficha, to your mouth, edible, in other words. Correct, but it is memin, hamuta beficha, from the species which is muta to eat. These animals qualify. V'loy, not ma'or dag. We don't use fish. Fish not, although fish, of course, is kosher. Afilu utar, even if it's a pure toy fish. Why? Mishum de no fish zuame, because it's just not practical. It's very oily, very, very oily. And you try to make a cloth out of fish skin, it ain't gonna work. It's ain't gonna work. Even gefilte fish, yeah, it's not gonna work. I don't know how. By the way, I don't know how birds work. Oif, I don't know how the skin of a bird. It's not gonna work. I don't know how that's gonna work. But it doesn't sound like it. It says the claf. How are you gonna use the claf from an oif? I'm not sure. Maybe some very big birds, which are kosher. I don't know. Pardon? I don't know, but it looks like it does work, because otherwise... Now, Rabbi said there's an interesting bialoch over here, which I heard, that it is a loch lemaisa. The bialoch tells us, in the bialoch, Teres Hashem, interesting, bialoch says as follows, v'afilu sha'a sforim, Teres Hashem, afilu sha'a sforim she'enam tenach, even other sforim which are not Tera, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, Sheish Boim Shemois, which have got names of Hashem mentioned, unlike Megillas Esther. So, but the other Sforim of the Sifrei Tanach, She'enim Nimchokim, also Lichtoiv, you're not allowed to write those other Sforim of Tanach, Al Oire Behema Tumeya, on skin of Tumeya animals. Which basically means, now I don't exactly know, so I hear that it is crap, somebody wants to. To make a nice, he wants to ride, pardon? Yeah, that's right. He wants to put the maktoyes on horse skin. Check it out. He wants to make a horse skin pitomaktoyes. Yeah, it's just, you know, people to speak about, you know, there is that, that you want to ride on horse skin, so that's not going to work. It's not, you can't, yeah, Pitomakta is a good example. You can't do that. You have to, everything which is Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, if you want to write on a, you've got to write on a kosher animal. So I don't know what other applications that would be. But, Anything, yes. You mean our tefillahs? Well, most of our tefillahs come from Tehillim. Yes, the most of our tefillahs come from Tehillim, but yeah, that's it. Pardon Shemoneh Esrei, yeah? If a person would want to write Shemoneh Esrei on a rabbit. On a nice thing, and it's like, yeah. So that's it. That wouldn't work. That wouldn't qualify. You can't do that. Pardon? Yeah. So Parichas is not, it's probably not, it's probably not right to do. It's probably right. It's probably not the right thing to do, but it's not what we're specifically addressing in the Baruch here, because he's saying Shas Svarim She'enom Tanach. He's talking about Svarim. Okay, Seif Yud Gimel. Yaklof Aklaf Sholem. This could also be relevant. The klaf should be sholem. In other words, the klaf must be complete. When you write the Shema. Or all the other parashas of the tefillin, they got to be complete. There should be no holes. The holes, they cannot be holes. If there's a hole there that the ink would sink through, would go through, it would invalidate. You cannot have a klaf which has a hole in it, that it would appear that the letter is split into two. So the klaf has to be complete. And klaf can be breakable, especially old klaf can sometimes have like holes and tears. So we're learning over here that if it looks like the letters have been separated and it would appear as if that there's a split here, and also if there is enough of a hole that the ink would go through, that would invalidate the klaf, and it's therefore possible. Hasofim Azrizim, see if Yudala teaches as follows. Hasofim Azrizim, the good sofim, the oisim shloshim in a klafim, they do three types of klaf. Now there's a toast sofim, the Mishnah points out, Ha'av yois lichtu v'parash shema shiktano v'takman v'parash shivim shema yashu yois gdole v'parash kadosh v'parash shivim v'yivichem shem uchaz oisim klaf takma oid v'zeh yismole abatim v'shove v'zeh oinu ele tefillin. There is a printing mistake over here. The way the Mishnah explains as follows, that you've got to have in the tefillin shel is one compartment. The tefillin shelosh is a few compartments. Now you've got to, they have different parshas, and each of those parshas have got a different amount of words, and the length of the text is a varied length, right? Vayim Shemaya and Shema is different. So therefore, what they do is that you've got to write they write it. So the idea is that you want to write it in the same amount of the klaf, it should be the same length, so that you can fit in into the compartment nicely. Shouldn't be that one should be very large and one should be very small. So what the Shulchan Aruch says is, depending on the length of the text, you cut the klaf wider or shorter. So like this, it will fit nicely into the compartment. What the Bialocha says, what the Mishnah Berurah says, the minig is that actually they do the same amount. Mishnah Berurah says that there's another tikkun. I'm reading the ads of Sivkot Lamed Gimel. They achieved this in a different way. How did they achieve this? Shekol haklofim hem shovim ba'orech echad ve'oyve echad ala shemenich in gilyonis v'parshas haktzoros. You have the same amount of klaf, same size klaf. Matchiofa says that what you do is same length, so they're all equal, but you write it with a varied distance between the lines. So if there's more text, you do the lines one after the other. And if you do that, if there is a shorter text, there'll be longer gaps in between. In word, it's called, I know where you press it in word.
Lines.
No, not font.
Line space,
that's it. That's, yeah. Yeah, anybody use words? Line space, you make the gaps between the lines bigger. So that's exactly what the Motchi offer did. You all have the same, and I wonder, I think that could be, that's the minute currently as well. When you finish the Shalosh, you take out if you were to take out the parshas of the finish Shalosh, they all have got the same size klaf. I believe that's the minig. Well, it's certainly what the Mishnah Berurah said, that's the minig. And the only difference is, again, the size of the klaf is the same, but there is the space in between, which is varied.
So does it stretch the letters?
Yeah. But that's, I don't think they do that with the, they don't do that here. No. But there's no the issue. There's no issue by the tefillin shliyad because it's only in one parsha. Here we're trying to achieve that there's a hidu mitzvah, the zeh keli ve'anveyu. If all the batim have got to sit, all the compartment, all the parshas fit nicely in the compartment equally. Not one is more squashed, one is smaller, one is bigger. You want to achieve that the klaf is the same. Shulchan Aruch suggests that there are. So you're right. There, the klaf will be a different size. One will be longer, one will be wider. So, but the idea is that they do them wider and shorter. So they're not going to be longer, and they're not going to be. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's not. It's going to be. Yeah, that's it. They do shliyad. Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the point of it is that you want to have the last few words. Shulchan Aruch is v'zeh yismalu abatim b'shove. You want to achieve that the batim are equally filled. V'zehu noy letfilin, and that's the noy. That's the way of beautifying the tefillin. I failed to mention earlier an interesting bialach rabbi say, which I do feel like is important to stress. Please apologies. Accept my apologies for going back a little bit. We mentioned that there is you can make a klaf out of three species, right? You can do it behemah, chai, and oif. Yeah. So we said that oif, we don't exactly know how that works, but is now there is a bialocha which brings from the achronim that what's the most mehudadiga, the best klaf from which animal is the best klaf? I find it very interesting. Pardon? A cow. In what kind of cow? Calf. Born.
A bull.
So I would have guessed probably something of those lines you're suggesting. There's a very interesting bialach over here. It says in Sifyut Beis, yeah, if you have calf ma oyv behema, oyv meshubach, v'achov chayo, v'achov behema, v'shlil yoyza toiv, the best option is a shlil, which a shlil means an unborn calf. Shlil yoyza toiv, shadayin lo yotza lav yoylam. Hasn't entered the world yet. So you've got an unborn baby calf, which can happen, of course, if you shecht a cow and there's an unborn calf there. That is the best calf to take from such an animal. And it's not because, I would have presumed, the reason is because the baby skin is better or softer or nicer. No. That's not what the bialacha says. The reason is, why is a baby calf, unborn, baby, shlil, why is it the best possible calf? Why? There is a, no. The reason that Biolocha says seems to be a ruchnistic reason. The Biolocha's words is, Shadain lo yotzo la'avir ha'olam. He has not entered this world. He's not seen the avir ha'olam. He hasn't seen this world. It was a nicely protected environment. In a nicely protected environment. There's nothing nicer than the security of the womb of the mother and protected from any spiritual and the world out there, which is not always so nice. You know, you don't have to go to Ukraine to see the challenges of the, you know, it's a world that's got challenges. So if you've got the impure impact and the exposures, etc. So the best craft you want to use for your tefillin and perhaps also for your mezuzahs and generally, the best calf comes from a shlil, from an unborn baby calf, because it's never been exposed to the world out there.
What part of the animal is it?
Shlil. So, what part of the hide it is? He's not addressing that here. I do not know what the batimacha and the sofim use. I believe that they use a part of the neck. I think that's the best because I think a lot of parts of the hide you can't even use. So I think that what they use is the part around the neck, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So either way, but what the bialach is addressing is that you go for the. So I was quite inspired by that. Because what does that teach us? What does that teach us? I think there's a musa here that we can take out of that. I don't know. What's the most that we can take out?
Be less hungry.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's in levels of how connected to the physical world.
Because oif is... I didn't think of that. V'achuv chaye, v'achuv behemo, v'shlil yoyis etoiv.
So in the basement, Josh, don't go to the world.
Pardon?
In the basement,
Josh,
don't go to the world.
Yeah. Pardon? Stay in the Besmeldish. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It just teaches us, you know, sometimes we feel, you know, if we're exposed and everything, even Tshuva wouldn't work. It's like, the more you are, there's something very pure. There's something very pure. A person has not so much exposure, doesn't see, you know, it's something pure and nice about it. It's not always good to be I feel that there's an akudus of it. For the tefillin, you want to have something pure. Yeah, right. I don't know. It must be very small. You're right. I don't know how they manage to do so much. I don't know. Perhaps there's one question we can ask. If we want, Mitzchem, I want to bring one to sofa. Maybe we can bring a sofa. I would be curious to know exactly where to get the cloth from, and is it taka always from the shlil or not? I don't know. Yeah.
You have to use from the same animal.
No, you could combine a few. Yes. Absolutely. I don't see any reason why not. I don't know if it's, yeah. The truth is, you can sometimes see by Sefer Torah, which I know that's not what you are asking, but by Sefer Torah, you can often see that there's a very wide, a very, very big difference in the color of the klaf. Sometimes you've got one klaf, you know, in the middle of a parsha, and you've got the next klaf, and you can see it's a very different color, which very obviously comes from a completely different animal. So you can sometimes see that difference. Yeah? Okay. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi said summarize what we learned this evening. We discussed that you can use for the calf any skin from a behemah chayav oif, from a kosher animal, because there's leman tir teres Hashem beficho, min hamuto beficho. But however, from non-kosher animals, you cannot use. The kosher animals, however, can be, even if it's not shechted, and it's a tefer. We spoke about the fact that from fish, it's not a great idea, because not fish, it's very oily. We spoke about the fact also that the calf must be complete. If there's substantial holes in it, invalidate it. We spoke about the shlil, that is the ideal source of klaf. We spoke about the fact that the parshas you want to have zekele ve'anver, they should be equally sized in tefillin shel rosh. And these were the points that we discussed this evening, and we'll continue tomorrow evening, Mr. Shem. Okay, good evening.